Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. Of course, I'm now joining Mike Dell. Mike, I've been out a few shows. How are you?
Good. Yeah, it's been a busy month or two here with you going to this one or that one or the other one, and it continues the rest of the month.
Yeah, the last week was outlier. I was out in Austin. I gave a keynote out there and talked to about 100 podcasters, so that was nice. But I've been fighting a head cold thing going on, so if I cough on anybody today, I apologize. There's no mute button here. We're not like a radio station. I should have one all these years. But
yeah, I got one over here, and I use it. I use it for my job. I'm talking to people.
That's smart. Anyway. Hey, we got a good lineup of news. We got some best practice. We've got a blueberry pro tip. We've got an interview. We got a question of the week. So we got a full show. Hey, let's just start this off with, you know, Tom Webster announced he was leaving Edison Research, and boom, it's going to Sounds Profitable. That was a shock.
Yeah, he's partnering up with Brian over there, and I guess he's part owner. I don't know, but
I think so. Or part owner job. Who knows what the business relationship is? But apparently, the newsletter was earning enough money to offer Tom a full time position. So I guess the money to be made is in the newsletter business these days.
Yeah, it could be, but it sounds like they're doing a lot more than that with Tom coming on. So we'll see how that goes, see what Sounds Profitable turns into.
And they've got some plans to do some studies, and one of the first things they're going to do is some sort of a creator study. So we'll see where that leads. But second thing up is Apple says no more iPods. That takes us a way back.
Yeah, I had one of the first iPods. See, I can't even say that anymore because, right. You know, iPhone and iPad. But no, the iPod, the last one was the iPod Touch, which is basically a phone without a phone in it. They're discontinuing that. There's still a few left. So if you really want one, you got to go get it. But it's 21 years or so, or 21 years. And it's gone, and I think this space would have been very different had the iPod not been invented.
Oh, that's a given here, because let's be kind of frank, this is what allowed us to do what we did back in the day.
For sure. And speaking of which, congratulations on 1,600 episodes of Geek News Central.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. 1,600 episodes and 17... about 17 and a half years. So I used to do 100 episodes a year, but just haven't been able to maintain that over that length of time. But 1,600 in the can on Monday. Yeah, first one I've edited in a long time because I was coughing on folks.
Yeah, that was the headline right there, is that you actually edited that show.
Yeah,
you know, edit this one, of course. But
all I did was remove the coughs I could easily see. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this article on Amplify Media about listener retention.
Yeah, I love the quote they have right at the beginning. It says, "Social media is like throwing a golf ball into the rapids in the Grand Canyon, along with 40,000 other golf balls, and hoping someone finds yours." But basically, what he's talking about is people definitely will stop listening to you after a while if what you're doing is not engaging enough. And there's a whole bunch of other points that they made here in the article. But you said it makes sense. You know, retention is important. I don't know how many times I get a ticket from somebody that says, hey, you know, normally I get X number of downloads and, you know, it's been slowly going down over time. You know, what's happening? Or, you know, even retention within an episode. You know, we have that graph now, and, you know, some people are noticing that they're not getting, you know, people listening to the end of their show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, that's just one of the bigger challenges these days, is to keep people engaged.
And I think, too, one of the things that needs to be considered is that if you're doing a show over any length of time, people will leave and come back and leave and come back, because they don't typically stay with the same show for multiple years. If you're lucky enough like me to have done a show for multiple years, because we kind of get, well, I think people just kind of get sick of listening to people after a bit of time. And it's nothing about the quality of the content. They just go looking for new content. And if you're there when they get back, then you retain them as listeners, but you have to keep them engaged.
I've done that before. You know, I'll unsubscribe from somebody for a couple of years, and then I wonder if they're still at it. And it's a nostalgia thing, you know, and I'll usually go back and listen to some of the episodes I missed and all that. But it's the way it goes. You know, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. It's not always a hockey stick up.
And that's why you got to be on your A game. It's now when I, you know, be honest with you, on Monday when I did my that 1600 episode, I probably shouldn't have done it because I was feeling horrible, but I felt obligated to do that show that day just because we're kind of on a schedule. And, but there are times I have not done an episode because, well, I didn't feel 100%.
You know, it happens for sure. So, you know, it's
so probably a good one for people to read then.
Yes, definitely check that out. Of course, it'll be in the show notes over at podcastinsider.com.
So what's this background noise remover? Is this just another tool that from Noise Destroyer?
Yeah, it's a tool that somebody come up with. It's Noise Destroyer. Currently, they're having a SSL problem, but I think they'll get that cleared up pretty soon. So, but I played with it a little bit. You know, like if you have an air conditioner running in the background or a fan noise or something like that, it does a pretty decent job of taking that out in one step.
It's pretty cool. Of course, there's noise reduction in most audio editing platforms. So definitely if you're before spending $7.99 a month, definitely try to see if you can use the noise reduction in your own software first to get rid of that stuff.
Sure, sure. It kind of reminds me of what Auphonic does, you know, as far as, you know, they have a limit that you can upload and process per month. And, you know, it's I don't know, it's interesting if it's, you know, if you just need a super simple tool, it looks pretty simple.
Hmm. Podcasts are earning more than $40,000 a day with Boost. And of course, if you don't know what a Boost is, it's a that's supported in Podcast 2.0 apps where a listener can send you some crypto, yeah, specifically Satoshis. All you have to do is boost the post if your RSS feed is Boost enabled. It takes a little bit to get that set up, so it is still kind of hard for the average podcaster to get going, but it's not that difficult.
Yeah, well, you know, out of the, what do they say now, 4 million podcasts or something, there's only, you know, 6,400 podcasts that do value for value so far.
Right.
And, you know, but they're doing a million Satoshis a day. I don't know what that works out to in real money.
That's a Bitcoin. That's a one Bitcoin.
Yeah. So, you know, they're doing a decent amount every day, it says. So
That's really amazing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, this was put out by Voltage, which is one of the Bitcoin peoples.
Yeah.
So
awesome. So if you need to know more about that, podcast 2.0, podcastindex.org is a place to look at that.
Sure.
Also, the IAB has announced 1.4 billion is what we did last year in 2021.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because, you know, for the longest time, we were trying to get to that billion. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, boom, blew past it to 1.4, and they say it'll be up to 4 billion, you know, in a couple of years. So crazy.
Yeah, 4 billion. Where are they going to get the inventory if they don't start looking
down
the stack? Yeah, got to go deeper. So 1.4, and we'll see what happens with this. You know, I think we're going to be in a recession or depression or something here with the way things are going. So we'll see if that number continues to climb with this economy the way it is.
In bad times, a lot of people will put more money into advertising.
That's true.
You know, to keep things going. And podcasting is one of the cheaper ways of doing it.
Yep. And we saw, too, during the last recession that podcasting stayed steady and even grew because people were looking to diversify their job portfolio, but also kind of a backup and build a plan to potentially have a podcast that would you know, take them over the rough patch. So exciting. Well, not exciting for a recession, but we'll see what happens with podcasting. I expect it won't be much of a blip.
Yeah, who knows? So I guess we'll have to wait and see. The one thing, you know, not everybody advertises, and not everybody wants to advertise. So, you know, the podcast world is much bigger than just advertising, you know, but that's what, you know, pays the bills, of course, for a lot of companies and people.
So what's this story about Joe Rogan having the last laugh?
Well, you know, he had a bunch of bad press here a few months ago, and the last laugh is he got about 2 million more listeners.
Wow.
During that. And since then, you know, a lot of them have stuck around.
Oh, that's interesting. So bad press isn't always bad for the listener volume.
Apparently not. And of course, you know, nobody can really verify any of these numbers because it's, you know, internal to Spotify. But I take it at face value. I'm sure he got a boost because his name was in the news everywhere.
Yeah. So that was an article over on InsideRadio.com. So you discovered this site as well, this podcastdetails.com website, this fun little site to look at some insights to your shows.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I brought up Podcast Insider, and, you know, it gives you little graphs, you know, average length. You know, our length is, you know, between 30 and 60 minutes most of the time. And then I go down, and there's a chart of the calendar. Now, we only put the last year's episodes in the feed, so that's all it's showing, but, mm-hmm. you know, we've got, you know, most of our shows were on Thursday, but there was a few on Friday. So that was interesting to see. But, you know, I looked at my personal show and, you know, there's a dot here and a dot over there and a dot. You know, it's never consistent. But
it's pretty good what they've done. They've done some decent details. And I actually looked at I went down and trying to figure out who created the site. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar by.
You've seen him.
I've seen him, but I may have talked to him, but I don't remember him by name. Yeah, so the developer of that's done some cool things here. So anyway, that kind of wraps up our news, and we're going to move into the best practice section. Our best practice, and I'm going to read what has been typed in our show prep. If you're going to miss a show, schedule a backup host, do a replay, or pre-record if you can. Staying on schedule is important because people build your show into their lives. If you skip too much, they will drop off. I've been having a little of that going on myself, being traveling and skipping, and sometimes I have a co-host fill in, and this time I've opted not to.
Yeah, but you're an established show, so you know people realize that you're going to miss a few here and there, and you know that's the other thing. Just let people know if you can ahead of time, you know, whether you're going to be there or not, and you know that's not terrible either. But like what we do with this show is usually I have a guest host if Todd's gone, or Todd has a guest host if I'm gone.
Yep.
And there's going to be an instance coming up here pretty soon where both Todd and I are going to be gone, and Mackenzie's going to do the show with another team member. And, you know, so we do that kind of thing with this show. I'm going to probably be pre-recording next week because all three of us are going to be gone on Thursday. So we'll see how that works out. But, you know, try to keep it, you know, if you're one that is on a good schedule, try to stick with it. You know, inform your listeners if you're going to be missing something or make some arrangements. It's always fun. You know, I've done Geek News Central a couple times for you. And, you know, it was fun doing something that's not my norm. And yeah, it was a long time ago, but it was fun.
Yep.
And, you know, I've had other people do, you know, I had one person do my show. We did a show swap where I did their show. They did my show one week just for fun.
You know, one thing I've always contended, though, is if you're new, you know, it's really, really critical those first couple of years to not miss an episode at all cost. And, you know, I always tell people if you're on seasons, especially if you're new, and some people get upset with me when I say this, but, you know, if you're going to do seasons and season one ends on Friday, season two should really begin on Monday. I know people like to take time off in between, but I think those shows, the majority of them will definitely see a drop in listenership as they come back on if they've spent more than 6 or 8 weeks away to come on season two or three or whatever it may be. I've just never subscribed personally to the seasons piece. Some people do, and it's, you know, it's fine. There's no rules in podcasting, but I think when you leave, you are setting yourself up to have your audience go somewhere else.
They build you into their lives, into their schedule. I have shows that, I know are going to be there, Thursday afternoon. I'm going to have this new show that I'm going to listen to. And if it's not there, I go, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And it throws my schedule off if they come out on Saturday instead of Thursday or whatever.
And you may not even listen to that episode because they have thrown your schedule off. Because you've got something else slotted in for that time, whatever it be, life or podcast or YouTube or whatever it is, you're competing. So you have to, you have to fit. So very, very interesting, a very, very good topic on for best practice. Let's move into some blueberry news. So just this morning, we have released annual billing. So it's now available. You would think we'd have had this for years, but we've had more and more people ask for annual, so we decided to include that as an option.
We did have that for stats at one time, a long time ago.
But you can get a little bit of a discount on the plan if you go annual. We give you actually a significant discount on the
it's pretty decent
on the hosting if you go to annual billing, and that way you don't have to worry about the credit card expiring. You just hit it once a year, and you're good to go. So definitely check that out if you want to go on annual billing. And if you switch from monthly to annual, we will prorate you coming off your monthly to, definitely check it out.
Definitely. And, okay, this next one's kind of funny because PodFest is coming up. But Kim Cratchy, the title of it is Pod Faded at PodFest.
Oh.
And, she's been kind of pod faded on her show for the last, 6-8 months or whatever, sometime last year.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still going to PodFest, and she has a lot of tips in the article. Even though you're not currently podcasting, it's still worth going to things like that and what you can do to maybe restart the mojo and get back on track.
So Kim's going to be out at PodFest. Be great to see her.
Yes, she's
out there. So definitely check out the blog post. The folks at PodFest are going to be like, don't use PodFaded and PodFest the same sentence. But anyway, definitely check it out. And of course, you and I will be at Podcast Expo in Orlando from May 26th to May 29th.
Mm-hmm.
You can come see us there, podcastexpo.com.
Yeah, we're both speaking there as well.
I don't even know. I haven't even seen the schedule, so I know what I'm speaking about.
Yeah, they haven't come out with the schedule yet. We have a Zoom call sometime next week, I think. It's supposed to clear everything up. I'm on a panel as well, and I have no idea what time it is.
Okay, and I'm doing the new media show live as well. But we may only be in a production studio, may not be able to be done in front of an audience. I heard that out yesterday, which would kind of blow because we've typically done that show in front of a live audience before.
Yeah.
But so this coming Saturday, I leave to go to ATD. That's a HR training type of conference. We'll be talking about private podcasting there. So May has turned out to be a pretty busy month for events for the entire team. And our dev team will be working hard to get some new features released in early summer as well. So we're kind of split. The team is pretty small.
Yep.
So when we're out a week or out 2 weeks, then the stuff that the team members would have done normally while we're in the office gets delayed. So
unfortunately, it's getting smaller.
Yep. So time will tell. Matter of fact, we're going to have some job announcements soon at Blueberry. So we'll let you know when those are posted. But I think we've got a Blueberry pro tip, don't we?
Yes. Toby's going to talk something like private podcasting.
Hi, it's Toby Goodman here. For so many business owners, podcasting is rightly viewed as a core marketing asset. But there are other ways of repurposing or even directly using your podcast to help you, especially if you're part of a marketing team or run a business on the operations side. And right now, I'm going to address just one. On the other side of massive marketing success is sales. And on the other side of that is the much less sexy topic of delivery, or as my parents would say, working. So if you've grown a podcast that serves your business, you can also use it to help onboard new team members and up-level or upskill your existing team, because your podcast is your voice and not just your external one. The more you grow, it's likely the less one-on-one time you'll have with your team. If your aspirations are anything like mine, you might be looking at stepping away from the everyday operations. Your podcast can quickly gen up new recruits to the kind of person they're working for, the culture you've worked hard to create, and give them a way to feel connected to the top brass, even when, like our team, you are all working remotely across multiple time zones. The results are a better performing, more cohesive team who retain the culture you built and who you retain. If you like the sound of that and you'd like our team to do the very unsexy but crucial work to create a podcast that not only attracts but retains both clients and team members, come and say hi over at blueberrypro.com.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of what you guys are going to be talking about at ATD.
That's right. So I do want to make a clarification. We're about ready to play an interview from Liz Bruner, our Blueberry's April Podcaster of the Month. I've had a few people tweet me and say, hey, how can I be a Podcaster of the Month? It's real simple. You send an email to mckenzie@blueberry.com, and that will allow you to be considered. So it's no more complicated than that. But I think our Blueberry's April Podcaster of the Month, even though we're in May, I think you're going to love this interview. I did it earlier this week with Liz. We'll go ahead and kick to that. And then as soon as the interview's over, we'll come back. Hey, everyone. I want to welcome Liz Bruner to Podcast Insider. Liz, you are our Podcaster of the Month for April, and we're just getting around to do the interview. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. First of all, I was so honored to even be mentioned and named, and it came as quite the surprise when I got the information. So thank you to Blueberry. I'm honored.
Yeah, absolutely. And you do a show called Live Your Best Life, and you've been podcasting now since around February of 2020.
Yes, just before the pandemic hit.
Yeah. And so that was an interesting. I've talked just a little bit about that at the end, but you're around 80 episodes now. You hail from Boston. You and I have a little background. You spent time in Hawaii as a child. I spent a lot of time in Hawaii as an adult. But anyway,
aloha nui loa.
There you go. So let's talk a little bit. Just give us your basic background before we get into the essence of the interview here.
Well, depending on whom you ask, I'm called a communications expert, a motivational speaker, now a best-selling author and a podcaster, and I also have my online learning platform, BrunerAcademy.com. I had a 28-year television career, but prior to television, I was a high school music teacher, then I worked in retail, then I had my 28-year career in television, and now I've been an entrepreneur as a communications coach for almost 9 years. So I consider myself in my fourth next chapter. That's where I am right now, in a nutshell.
So that's some serious credentials. So what inspired you? What's the genesis then behind Live Your Best Life, your podcast? What was the decision point that said, oh, I'm doing all this other stuff, but I need to throw in a podcast?
I initially was very reluctant to do it, Todd. Not because I knew I wouldn't love it. I knew I would love it. But our mutual friend, Dan Tebow, who happens to be my digital producer, kept saying to me, Liz, you need to do a podcast. You need to do a podcast. You need to do a podcast. It's an exploding medium. And I said, I know, but I know my commitment level, my expectation level of myself. And as a former journalist, I did a lot of homework, a lot of prep for all of my interviews. So I knew I would love being a podcaster because I loved interviewing people. I love storytelling. I love hearing other people's stories. But I also knew that what I was going to expect of myself in terms of preparation. And now, I mean, I literally will read a book a week almost because I have a podcast guest who's going to be on who has a new book. So I knew that I had to be willing to make that time commitment. But because I love interviewing, because I love storytelling, I really wanted to do this. And my vision for my life is that I want to teach, I want to motivate. I want to inspire people to live their best life, whatever that means for them. And that's a different definition for every single human being. And because I had made so many different career changes and had so many different chapters, I wanted to be able to share with other people, look, if I can do this, you can too. If all of my guests have done these transformations and transitions or risen above challenging times and have found resilience, whatever that is, I wanted people to be motivated and inspired to say, you know what? If they did it, I can too. And so that's why I started my show. And the beauty of it, Todd, is at least, you know, when I was on the air doing stories for television, we were given a finite amount of time.
Right.
You had to put your story in a minute and 15 seconds, right? And what I'm able to do with my interviews, I can talk to anybody as long as I want. There's nobody saying, take that out. You can't ask that. Just do your thing. So that's the beauty of it. And it's so much fun. As you know, you've been doing this forever.
you know, it's true about TV, though. I remember being interviewed in Honolulu for, they were looking for 3 minutes. And they came out and spent 45 minutes with me, talked about podcasting and all these kind of things. Man, this is a beautiful interview. And then they took chunk and did 3 minutes. And it really did. It did what I had talked about with that reporter no justice. And they only skimmed the surface. You know, they really couldn't get in deep. But, you know, I was served between a commercial break. And, you know, that was that's what television is. You're given so much time. So, you know, there's something you said at the beginning of the discussion about wanting to do right for your show and doing this prep work. And I you know, for those podcasters listening that are doing interview shows, I often cringe sometimes when I hear an interview and I can tell the host really didn't do his homework. You know, they maybe read the LinkedIn bio or maybe they've been on Wikipedia or something like that. And they just kind of skimmed. They really haven't went out and done the research. So I think it's important for podcasters that are listening to this, do your homework on your upcoming guests so that you can ask the question that maybe they've never been asked before.
Right.
Or the question they didn't get to answer in another interview that they wanted to dive into. And that sometimes is where the gold is at, is finding that stuff, you know? So a book a week, though.
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm learning a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
But again, for me, it's that prep piece that I believe makes my show stand out just a little bit differently from perhaps other people's shows. And the number of guests, Todd, that have said to me, wow, you're so prepared. I really appreciate that. In fact, Jack Canfield, that name probably rings a bell with some of your listeners. He is the co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And those books have sold millions and millions of books around the world. Well, it took me a long time to get Jack as one of my podcast guests, but I did. And you can bet I was going to make sure I did my homework for him. But you know what he said to me that just made me feel so good was he said, I want to thank you. He said, I can tell you did your homework. And I really appreciate that because most people don't.
Right.
Wow. You know, and he says, and he went on to say, this was as good as 60 minutes. That just made me feel great. Like, yes, I did do my homework. But for me, that's an important piece in order to have that conversation flow, in order to really hone in on why did I want this guest on my show to begin with so that they could share that story, so they could really kind of get down to the essence of it, of why they were on the show. What's important? What do they need to get out there?
And with no time constraints, it gives you the time to get in there and get to the guts of what you're trying to find out or extract. Or learn.
That's exactly.
And you know, one thing, it's, I have to giggle a little bit. 60 Minutes has a huge production staff. You know, they got 30 or 40 minions running around doing all this prep work. And
it's just me.
And it's just you, right? So I think that's something to be said about the commitment that you have to your show, is doing this deep, deep dive. But I think, you know, oftentimes, you know, I go back to this story, and those people, the listeners that have listened to this show, know that when I lost my father a number of years ago, my mom and I did a podcast. It was really to, you know, kind of just like walk things through and talk about life and figuring it out. And we kind of talked that to the end. We figured out where the ending point was, but it was one of those things where you just kind of got deep down in the soul of the content. So for us, the goal was really to, it was almost like therapy. And so what do you You've got all this life experience. What do you get out of your show? What does it do for you?
I love storytelling, first of all. And when I'm able to kind of get to the essence, to the guts, to use your words, of something, I have had moments during my shows, during the recordings of the episodes, where somebody will say something that I just am blown away with and go, wow, talk about a soundbite moment or a drop the mic moment, because they said something that was so unexpected. But I think what's also important to say is, as prepared as I am, I want the conversation to flow naturally. Sure, I have moments, I have questions written down, I kind of have a theme, if you will, I know a direction I want to go, but sometimes the conversation goes a completely different direction that's even better than what you had intended. And being a good interviewer, being a good host, is about listening. It's about listening. I'll share one story. So Mark Divine, who is a former Navy SEAL, decorated Navy SEAL, ended up being number one in his class. And we were talking about a number of different things. And he surprised the heck out of me when he said, you know, Liz, I've suffered from imposter syndrome. Oh my gosh, this is a Navy SEAL who did, you know, programs for the government, who's a best-selling author, and this guy's like a macho Mr. SEAL guy, and he has imposter syndrome? Wow. It's like nuggets like that that I think the general audience, the people who listen to my show, can go, whoa, I deal with imposter syndrome, and if he can deal with it and he can figure out how to get over that, you know what? I bet I can too. I bet I can too.
You know, one thing I can tell is you're very enthusiastic about your content. Sometimes I need a Red Bull to get going. I think you wake up with Red Bull in your blood without even drinking one. So.
Oh, I have my cup of coffee in the morning, trust me.
So as you're taking this in, obviously you're probably also getting feedback from your audience. What's the type of things that are coming back to you from your audience?
A lot of my audience says, wow, this motivated me, this inspired me, thanks for sharing this story. It's those kinds of things that make me feel like, yes, this is worth it. This is a part of why I do it. This is a part of my vision for my life, both personally and professionally. I really want to be of service in some way, Todd. And if my show in some way helps somebody, it's doing its part. And to me, that's success. It's even same thing when I'm working with my coaching clients. If I'm working with them on communication skills or presence or leadership or public speaking or storytelling, media training, what's fun for me is I often see the progress in my clients before they do. But when they see it, wow, that's like icing on the cake. That to me is like, yes, that's success. That's what I get out of it when I see that kind of a reaction and they begin to own it. They begin to own it.
So how do you tie then your podcast into what you do with your academy? And maybe we can talk about that for a few minutes. How does that tie it together for your business?
Well, I have two. Well, I feel like I have four businesses right now, because I have Bruner Communications, which is my coaching communications business.
Okay.
Then I have BrunerAcademy.com, which is an online learning platform. And we have a number of different courses on there, a lot of them having to do with public speaking and how to be a rock star public speaker is my flagship course. And that's a wonderful course that people can take, either just the course itself, or they can even get the VIP package, which allows them to have coaching with one of my coaches on my team. And then now we've just added four new courses, which we're calling the Dare Collection, which are aligned with my new book, Dare to Own You, Taking Your Authenticity and Dreams into Your Next Chapter. So there's one course called Dare to Go for Your Goals. And a lot of people say, well, I know how to set goals. Well, I bet you don't know some of these scientific facts and tips and tricks. And the second one is Dare to Shift from Procrastination to Motivation. Dare to Rise Above Tough Times. And after what we've been through over the last couple of years, boy, do we all need to really learn to strengthen resilience, and how do we move ahead? And then the fourth one is Dare to Find Peace of Mind. And it's really about mindfulness and meditation, a very simple course. But those are four easy courses. And of course, there are just a few other things on there. So those all kind of mirror a lot of the work that I do. And I started BrunerAcademy.com. I was going to do it in summer of 2021, but because of the pandemic, I fast-tracked it, because a lot of people couldn't take advantage of coaching, and I wanted to make something available to as many people as possible. So that's why I started that. So those those two things marry with my business. And then my podcast, how those things all come together is because I just, again, love the storytelling. I love being able to share with people how they can also create next chapters for themselves. And then my book, that's the fourth business. There's the business of the book. Right. You know, you have a book out there.
it's a little long in the tooth, but yes, there's one out there.
There is, but I mean, there's always the business of the book. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot right now, but you know what? I'm not going to complain.
So it all ties together. And I think one thing that maybe some of the content creators that are listening will appreciate is there's different goals for each, you know, for some folks, it's a funnel. Maybe you do the podcast as a funnel for new clients, or mm-hmm. maybe the ultimate goal is just to share a message and there's no business objective, or maybe you build something that you want to monetize through listener support or whatever it may be. So do you feel then that your podcast fuels your other endeavors?
I believe so. I hope so. But I don't have a sponsor on my show, not as of yet anyway. It hasn't been something that I've focused on because I've been so busy with everything else.
Right.
But it would also have to be the right sponsor. It would have to be somebody that aligns with my vision and the mission of why I do the show. And so, you know, who knows where that's going to lead? I don't today as we record this. But I do think that there have been people who've been former clients, believe it or not, who listened to my show, who've then said, hey, you know, I'm really getting so much out of this. So it's kind of gone the opposite direction, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
It's almost, though, you never know when a former client might at some point say, maybe it's time for a refresh and maybe it's time to engage Liz again. And
that has happened.
Oh, yes. That's good.
Yes.
So it is in essence...
It is a little one.
But it is, in essence, one feeds the other a little bit. So it's this kind of, what you're doing is you're building your brand, you're building you and everything that goes along with it. And I think a lot of times the perspective I ask, when I ask podcasters what they get out of their show, the reason I ask that question is because it often leads to the why they're doing it and what is motivating them to do the show, because doing a podcast, let's be frank, is hard work.
It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time a lot of time.
Someone was asking me, asked me today on Facebook, because I'm getting ready to celebrate my 16th other episode tonight. And he said,
1600. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
I have to acknowledge that, Todd. 1600.
Yeah.
Okay,
even this, there's a reason I don't have any more hair, but there's, and kids too. But the true point of it really is that he says, how do you stay motivated to do that? And it's because I have a passion for the content. And it wasn't like I was chasing. When I started the show, I was a poorly written blogger, did okay with building the podcast, and it's grew into something significant. But at the same time, I do it for me. I don't necessarily do the show for my audience, even though I appreciate my audience a lot. I have fun doing it. I'm motivated, like talking about it, giving my opinion. So everyone's motivations are a little bit different when they do their podcast. So I think if people can answer that question to themselves, what am I getting out of this? Is it feeding me? In other words, am I becoming a better person because I'm doing the show? And at the same time, maybe I'm helping someone. That's huge motivation to continue. But yeah. I think when people don't often, podcasters, when they don't get feedback for their audience, they often say, no one's listening. But yet you never know who's listening.
You'd never know. And I love that you brought that topic up, because one of the things that your team asked me when I was honored as the April Podcaster of the Month was, you know, what do you tell people? What's your advice? And the first thing out of my mouth was, why do you want to do it?
Right.
Why do you want to be a podcaster? What is your intention? Because, and what do you want the audience to take away? And to your point, what do you want to take away as the mm-hmm. host?
Yep.
I think those are equally important. And, you know, clearly it speaks to your soul as it does mine. And I think when you can kind of get that kind of a connection and that kind of passion, it does fuel you. It does feed you. And then it motivates you to continue, okay, I'll do another 1,600 episodes.
Right. Well, you know, and it's at some point, I also am very honest with my audience. I said, when this isn't fun anymore, I'll tell you it's not fun. And at this point in my journey, and I'm supposed to be talking about you, but I've always said that I don't expect this thing to last forever, but I'm going to do it to as long as it's fun and I'm enjoying myself. But I also take breaks now, where in the early days I took no breaks. And I think it was the right strategy then. But I take breaks now when I need one, or if I'm not feeling up and I'm feeling like, you know, I get off of work day and it's been rough and I'm tired and I'm not up energy wise. I say, hey, forget it. Let's skip today. And I used to really cringe when I did that. But also, when you've been at this long, I think you have to feed yourself and take care of yourself as much as taking care of your audience.
Well, you hit on something that I think we can both relate to, given our age, is that you do have to take care of you first. You know, put that oxygen mask on. You have to take care of you first. And when you do, then you fill your own gas tank, and then you're able to give back out to people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you may, your podcast content may shift from time to time. Yep. Also.
That's true.
You know, I mean, when I started mine just a couple years ago, initially it was like, you know, only if you've had a next chapter. Well, you know what? It's evolved more than that. That's the loose theme of next chapters, but it's all about transformation.
Right.
And I personally believe, as part of the pandemic, and here's my theory, the fact that the pandemic happened in 2020 is not a coincidence to me. Because when you used to think about 2020, those numbers, pre-pandemic, okay, maybe I've got to make sure I have 20/20 vision. I go to the eye doctor, I look at that big E chart on the wall, and what's the smallest line I can read? Mm-hmm. And maybe it is 20/20. I'm hoping it's 20/20. Well, guess what 2020 did now in the pandemic? It forced all of us to see clearly on our life. It forced all of us to take a hard look at our life. What are my priorities? What do I value? Am I doing what I love? I think it's something like 4 million people voluntarily left their jobs by April of 2021.
I think that's the great resignation. Yep.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so we were forced to look at our lives. Were we seeing things clearly? And I think part of the transfer, so everything is transformation. And I also believe that no matter how happy you are, no matter how successful you are, no matter what your profession is, we should all always be thinking, what else might I do next? Because for me, I mean, people were not staying in jobs 20, 30 years.
No.
They're not. I mean, I didn't. I mean, nobody does that anymore. You know, you get the gold watch. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't happen anymore.
That's right.
People are changing jobs every 2, 3, maybe 5 years. And that's not necessarily bad, because all of that experience, all of that knowledge can help move you to the next chapter. And that was really the impetus for my book. My grandmother used to say, no knowledge is ever wasted. And it's true. That was the impetus for the book, because all of those experiences that we've had, all of those jobs we've held, good, bad experiences, they all connect to create a next chapter if we're willing to see the themes and patterns and connect those dots. So always be thinking, what might I do next? So maybe your podcast will evolve also. You never know.
You know, it's kind of funny, because when I was in active duty military, every 1 to 2 years, you'd get a new supervisor.
Right.
And you would learn the supervising techniques you loved and the ones you hated, because a new supervisor always brought a little bit different technique. So by the time you've had enough of those, when it was your time to be the supervisor, you had already formed the type of supervisor you wanted to be based upon those past experiences. So I think the ability to, as people move around now and experience different jobs, and as you say, transform, I think it gives people a broader, they're not stuck in the rut. You know, or they're not just used to one type of thing. And maybe they say, oh, there is a different way. So I think to that point is kind of roundabout, but I think it's true. And we'll see what's going to happen. I think the whole job market economy is all being completely transformed because mm-hmm. of the pandemic. And I don't think we've seen the end ramifications of it yet. But
I would agree with that. And I like to call it recreation as opposed to reinvention.
Oh.
Because to me, reinvention means I'm completely doing a 180, going right. completely opposite direction, learning all new skills. Whereas recreation, I think, happens more often than not, where we take the skills we've had and we're just transferring them to something else. We're yep. using all those skills. And people will say to me sometimes, how did you go from being a high school music teacher to being on TV? It's all storytelling.
Right.
When I was singing semi-professionally and teaching music, I was singing stories. Then I was speaking stories on television, and now I'm helping other people learn how to speak well and use their voice and tell their story.
And here's the beauty. Everyone has a story or two 100%. Or three to tell.
Yes. Yes. I love hearing you say that.
Because, you know, it's, you know, no matter what, there's either drama, there's either soap operas, There's always stories that come out of human life and experiences, some sad, some tragic, some, you know, happy. It's the full mix. So yeah, it's very, very
cool.
It's
the journey.
Your show sounds really exciting. I be honest with you, I have not listened to it, but you've inspired me to tune in.
Well, so. I have many episodes you can choose from. Not as many as you, but I have enough.
Oh, it's okay. It's give me something to chew on. So where can the audience find your show? Where's the best place for them to go? Do you have a .com? It's just, where's the place?
Thanks to Blueberry, my platform. I'm on all the major directories. So you can find me on Apple, Spotify, you know, you name it. I'm on all the major directories. And the full title of the show is Live Your Best Life with Liz Bruner. That's the whole name of the show. Of course, you can go to my website, which is lizbruner.com. That's LIZBRUNNER.com. And you can learn all about not only the communications services that we offer, you can learn about my podcast. You can learn about the shows that I'm thankfully being a guest on because of my book. You can learn about my book. You can also learn about Bruner Academy from there as well. Or you can go just directly to BrunerAcademy.com. So plenty of places that people can find me.
And I would recommend too, if any of you want to learn about her process, we've got a great blog post up about Liz at Blueberry.com. Just search for her name. And it'll come right up. It was the April 19th blog post for the Podcaster of the Month, and there's some details there.
Thank you.
But the Bruner Academy piece that's got me intrigued, too, is how to be a better public speaker, because I think there's always room for improvement. I do lots of presentations. I had one last Friday that I was exhausted. It wasn't the best one I've ever gave, but there's always room for improvement. So definitely something to check out.
I agree. I mean, even myself, I'm still learning, and I've been told I'm an expert, and yes, I know a lot. I've honed a lot of the skills. I have a lot of experience, but we can always take our level to the next step.
Right.
And the course, How to Be a Rockstar Public Speaker, is not just for people who think, oh, I've got to give a presentation or I have to make a pitch. It's presentations, it's pitches, it's accepting an award, it's giving a wedding toast and everything in between. Because it's all about how do you use your voice? How do you communicate? How do you connect? How do you engage with your audience? What do you do to put your content together so that you do make that connection with your audience? And you know what's interesting too, Todd, because we've been in this virtual world and now we're kind of hybrid and mm-hmm. sort of going back to in-person, what a lot of people don't realize is that doing virtual well is challenging.
It's really challenging.
It's very challenging for so many reasons, not the least of which is when you're in person with people, you're on a stage giving a presentation, you're in a meeting, whatever, you feel the energy coming back mm-hmm. at you from your audience. You can read their body language. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't really do that on Zoom.
No.
On any kind of virtual platform, which means you have to give 100% of the energy, which is exhausting. And you also have to look into the camera.
That's right.
Because that's the way you make a connection. What most people do is they look down at their computer
that's
and
right.
they think, oh, I'm looking at people's faces.
Yep.
But guess what? your audience doesn't feel like you're looking at them.
Yep.
And here's what I love to tell people. If you're doing anything virtually, guess what? You are now a TV star. So act like it.
That's lovely. And, you know, and I think, too, it's and not to drag this out too much, but I think it sometimes it's like when you've been in a space or been doing the same thing for a long time, you can become that old dog that's not learning new tricks. And, you know, and you don't want to be the old dog. You want to be able to stay fresh and get new ideas and feed your brain, because believe it or not, people have different ideas that are often pretty fantastic. Say, wow, I should try that. So,
you know, you raise a very interesting point, Todd, which is that how people were taught to publicly speak years ago is very different than what needs to happen today because of the world we're living in. And to be able to make that shift and understand how you have to connect today versus how somebody might have done so 10 years right. ago, it's very, very different. And so being able to help people with that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the other thing I love doing is there's a woman who was a client in Washington, D.C., and she wanted to start a podcast. And I said, well, before we do that, let's back up and make sure that you have all the steps in place. Because whether you're a podcast host, a presenter, accepting an award, doing a conference call, it's all public speaking. Mm-hmm. It's all public speaking. And so learning how to do that well will stand you in good stead. Learning how to be a good interviewer, being a good host, will stand you in good stead. Learning all those communication skills.
And oftentimes, you're not going to get the first interview right the first time. You're going to do the grind. You know, as we call in Hawaii, grinds. We go grind for food. Well, in podcasting, you have to grind. You got to put the interviews in to become a better interviewer, too. And
Experience yeah, counts for something.
Yeah, it does. It really, really does. Well, Liz, thanks for coming on. I definitely loved introducing you to our family here at Podcast Insider. And definitely, folks, go over to Liz Bruner, B-R-U-N-N-E-R. And it's Liz with one Z. So nothing fancy there, LizBruner.com. And subscribe or follow her podcast, Live Your Best Life with Liz Bruner. Liz, thanks for being on today. Appreciate it. And best of luck to your show. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Todd. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. I'm so glad we finally met after all this time. Aloha nui loa.
I want to thank Liz for taking some time with me. And it was a really great interview. And I think all of you probably just recognize how much of a powerhouse she really is and why her podcast is being very successful.
I found it really interesting that she reads an entire book for show prep every week.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's some serious dedication.
Yeah, a lot of interview podcasts don't, you know, they'll interview a book author and they'll just skim the book and they don't actually read it. And she does.
Right. So we got a question of the week. This comes from Neil Smith at the Dandy Fun Podcast. He says, there's a discussion in one of the podcast forums today where someone is claiming that PowerPress generates RSS feeds. I've used it for years with my own RSS feed address and have never heard of it having this capability. Does PowerPress generate RSS feeds?
Yeah, it does, sort of. You know, PowerPress doesn't build it from scratch. It builds a podcast-only RSS feed, which just basically means that if you write a blog post that you don't have a podcast episode attached to, that doesn't show up in the feed. So it's strictly a podcast-only feed. The other thing it does is it takes the stock WordPress feed. Pretty much everything in WordPress has an RSS feed. It takes the stock WordPress site feed and just adds all the podcasting goodness to it and strips out the text-only blog posts. Also, PowerPress can add the podcast-related tags to any feed on WordPress. So if you're doing categories or you're doing this or that type, you know, post types, all that stuff. But so yes and no, it doesn't generate it from scratch, but it does enhance the stock feed and then creates a new one, like your slash podcast feed won't exist without PowerPress.
That's right. So, but it uses the internal mechanisms of WordPress and then interlaces
the podcast stuff into it. But, you know, it really kind of does create a podcast specific feed. And I think that's an important thing to know is that you can't get that without PowerPress.
Yeah, we didn't reinvent the wheel, but we perfected it.
Right. So surprised that people didn't realize that that's what PowerPress does.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of surprising too, so that's why I threw it in here. He contacted me via Facebook Messenger, of all places.
Well, awesome. Well, if you got a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@blueberry.com. That's blueberry without the E's, audio, text, or video, and we may use it. Of course, the best place for support with any Blueberry products, services, or ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Tickets give the whole team access rather than direct emails or calls. Of course, we've been coming to you this week from the New Media Production Studio in Coldwater, Michigan, and Mike Dell's World Studio in Traverse City, Michigan, produced by the Blueberry Pro at blueberrypro.com. Pro production team. And we got a new one. Fill out our listener survey, surveys.blueberry.com/podcast insider. If you are a Blueberry podcaster, you get one of these yourself. We have the ability for you to run a survey of your listeners, and then that data shows up in the stats platform. So it just gives you more ideas about your show. Hey, you can always schedule a one-on-one with myself. Hosting customers only, email todd@blueberry.com. Schedule a tech checkup with Mike. Again, hosting customers only, email mike@blueberry.com. You can always send your podcast sticker and a self-addressed stamp envelope, and we will send you a Blueberry care package. Our mailing address is in the blog post at podcastinsider.com. Mike, any thoughts?
Got a few chatters in the chat room over there. Somebody listening to us from the Philippines, so... Cool.
Welcome to us from the Philippines. Okay, everyone, we're going to get out of here. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show. We'll be back next Thursday. Someone from the team will be back next Thursday. I think it's just going to be...
I'll be there. I'm going to pre-record.
You're going to be the guest next, or host solo next week.
Yeah.
And but anyway, have a great week in podcasting. Everyone, keep an eye out what's going on at Blueberry. Send us your thoughts. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.